Strange night tonight, really. It's all to do with people shouting things at people. I mean, at 9 o'clock we've got the footy show where people will be ringing up and shouting, "You're blind, referee," and at the moment it's people shouting, "Break a leg," or "Oh, he's behind you." The Wilmslow Guild players are in now. We've got Lee Tipton and we've got Trevor Williams. We're going to find out more about their show, the Panto Goody Two Shoes. But welcome along, Trevor, and welcome along, Lee.
Thank you very much. Great Hello. To be here. Thanks a lot.
And your parts, is it Rolo and Polo, or Polo and Rolo, or something like that?
That's right, yeah. Based on the famous sweets.
Yes.
Very subtle. Very subtle. Go.
Will you be throwing those sweets out into the audience? No. If so, I'll be there.
No, we're not allowed to do that, I'm afraid. We're not allowed to give out sweets to the kids, really.
You're not allowed to give them out, or you're not allowed to throw them out?
No, not allowed to throw them out, really.
Right, no, okay.
No. It's an excuse we can't afford to do it, really.
You see, I was first.
We're not back on the health and safety nonsense again.
Yes, I think unfortunately that old dragon has.
Let's move on,
up.
Please.
Yes,
Could we hand them out of tubes and things, you know, gently?
Well, empty. I'm sure they're pleased with that.
Yeah. Catapult.
Oh no! My mum nicked mine. She threw it in the bin. I was very upset.
No, we don't want to give them any weapons. They might fight back. You know.
Yeah, true. Yes. Yeah.
Fire away, Tony.
Panto's that sort of thing, isn't it? My first Panto was Aladdin. I played Rick Shaw. It was quite a hard.
Rick Shaw. Great.
Yeah. That's the name.
I had to rehearse that for ages, you know, just to get it right. And it was great fun. But of course, Panto is great fun. Incidentally, I'm sure we want to right now say well done to Presbury Youth Pantomime, because their production, it's the 30th anniversary of the Presbury Youth one. They're doing Aladdin. And they're doing it, a 45-strong cast. I thought, how can you have that many people on stage? Obviously, huge chorus, maybe. Mm. But they're doing it in January, but they have very few tickets left. So I think I was going to invite them on the show and think, well, that's great, well done, but they probably don't need the publicity. So we just say, well done, 30th anniversary. And
it's very good.
They're performing at MADS, the little theatre in Lord Street, in Macclesfield, from the 7th until the 10th of January. However, your show, Goody Two Shoes.
Just before you get onto that, yes. I've got a question about the Presbury players. Mm. Where do they now hang their banner? Now that Ford House is in disrepair, should we say?
They'll find a way. Yeah, they always do.
Yeah. Right on that. On that.
Because they used to hang it on Ford House, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, we'd do it on the White House if they let them, wouldn't
they? Oh, right. Okay.
So maybe.
Oh, very good. No politics.
Go on, Tony. Sorry.
So, yeah, I saw Goody Two Shoes. I saw Wilmslow Guild. I think it was early in the year when I came down for the first time to have a watch. And it's an unusual setup of the theatre. It's theatre in the round, effectively, isn't it? You've no auditorium that we all kept away from. We feel like we're part of the theatre. That's correct.
Yeah. It's a very intimate setting, and it's good to play in there as well, because you can actually move around and face different directions and really bring the audience in. And the panto, that's what it's all about, really. It's audience participation. Mm. It's about anything.
It's great not actually being on that proscenium stage and actually being so close up to them that you can just, like, walk up to, if you like, right up to the audience, because they're higher above than you are. It's kind of the opposite of a normal proscenium stage. And it's great to kind of encourage the kids to be part of it, so close up.
So we've got Lee Tipton, that's Lee just been speaking there, who plays Polo, and of course Rolo is Trevor Williams, who's sitting closer to me. Now, fellas, you obviously got those names off the internet or from the kindly director who has been overseeing all of this.
And Tony's Curly Whirly.
I love Curly Whirly. Thanks for remembering mentioning that. I think you haven't got it in the studio, you know.
Paul Reeks wrote it, I think, and it's all down to him. Oh. I don't know who he is, but we'll get him one day, won't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's look at the story. It's a story of Septica, the evil sorceress who's left her magic shoes with elf cobbler for repair, and is far from pleased when Goody Coddle appears wearing them. This can only be the stuff of panto. Revenge, hilarity, jokes, singing, and a true panto ending. So, gentlemen, welcome to Canal Size Theatre Show, our community radio service for Wilmslow area. We're looking at Wilmslow Guild's production starting next Wednesday. How evil is Septica?
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, you know, we've been frightened all the way through, haven't we, really?
We have. It's
been a shocking experience.
On the boo-ometer? Whereabouts on the boo-ometer?
Right in the red zone.
Right in the red zone. Yeah. Okay.
The lady that plays at Grace Reed, I've known her for like 30-odd years, and she's fit for the part.
Isn't she directing as well?
Jeffrey, the husband. It's husband and wife.
Oh,
yes.
Joint effort, I think.
Without those two individuals, we wouldn't really have a Wilmslow Guild players. I mean, they're true
Troopers.
Troopers. Yes.
Grace is always in the wardrobe, so to speak, isn't she?
Yes, pardon?
We have to let her out now and again, don't we?
Oh, you mean she actually gives the costumes out?
That's right.
Yes. Confirm exactly.
Tuesday night, if you want costumes, plug, plug, plug. Wimpslow Guild, for hire. Get anything you want.
Yes.
From bomber pilots, jackets to... Oh, it could be anything you like at all, really. Yeah.
It's been actually open for since about 1926.
Yes, nearly half past seven it's been open.
That's right. Oh, very good.
It's good, though, wasn't it?
You made a joke then. We'll have to follow that in, won't we?
And, of course, Trevor played an Australian in the last production, which is it There Goes the Bride? Have I got the right one?
That's right. Did you see it?
I did. In fact, I felt as though when I was in the audience, I was in danger of tripping somebody over, because he's got very long legs, being 6'4", and I had to be conscious as to where I was putting my legs.
That
because, of course, the members of the cast come by so close to you.
We are very close.
Can you do the interview from now on in Australian accent?
Australian accent, I can if you want. Good evening, Pot Strigley. How are you all? I hope you're all well. And looking forward to Christmas. Bondi Beach with a turkey, thank you very much.
If we'd done this a bit earlier, my sister was listening in Sydney, Australia, where she lives now, and she'd probably thought, he's from Perth or somewhere.
Well, funnily enough, a chap was from Sydney, from Australia, visiting, and he went to two of the performances. And I had a word with him afterwards, and he was quite nice about it all, really. And, so if you can sort of get them on side who actually live there, you're not doing too
mm-hmm. So how big a part do Rolo and Polo have in all of this, then? You know, when do you come in and when do you go off and that sort of thing?
Oh, well, we come in right at the beginning of the play, and then right at the end as well. But nothing much in between, I think. It's not a bigger part.
We're going down the pub.
Yes, as we wanted. So we're kind of building our part up a little bit. Mm. With a few extra jokes,
but
we're trying to work on it, aren't we?
We are.
A double act.
Often we don't know what's coming next.
No, that's because... We haven't thought about it.
So, can you give me a sample of some of the jokes that have perhaps not made the script, or you've crossed out that perhaps we could hear from you tonight, or maybe a scene from Goody Two Shoes from the two of you?
We could.
Well,
strangely
enough.
strangely
enough.
What is that in your hand?
Well, I don't know. Is it a script?
Could it be the script?
Good. From memory, please.
From memory?
Oh, no.
We should know it by now,
shouldn't
we?
We've got to learn these lines, have we?
We haven't got that far along yet.
All right. I do a strange voice, you see. I feel better when I'm doing a different voice. I become a different character, you see.
And I'm supposed to be the one that's a bit dopey, so I put on this accent that's supposed to be from the West Country.
Presbury
like.
Accent, right?
Is it?
Presbury.
I've never been Presbury.
No.
But we're supposed to be doing a little bit like that, you see. Ronnie Barker style, you know, my hero.
No, it's Tony Barker.
Oh, it's not?
It's not the two.
I thought it was on the Ronnie Barker show.
Not those two. Like,
oh, no.
No, it's not them.
Oh, no. I thought he was Little Ron and Big Ron.
Look, I may be good, but I may not be very good, but I'm best in there is in the price range. That's the way I look
at it. never mind. But, if you understand these accents... We're doing it all the time like that.
There's about six inches difference between us two. He towers over me, so I'm obviously Ronnie Corby.
Yes.
One of you appeared in Pantomime last year, was it? Was it you, Trevor?
We both did.
Both did. So you both got yourselves to blame for being here tonight, because you've done it before.
Yeah, this is it with Amdram. Anyone who does Amdram knows that if you do something half decently, then the next time they want you to do it again, you say. So the idea is make a complete hash of it and then they don't ask you to do it again.
However.
Is it comedy, though, that you prefer comedy, do you?
Well, I do personally, yeah.
Oh, I do. It's just making somebody laugh and you'd being on that stage and hearing, you know, especially at Christmas time with the kids, it's just brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And if you can just... Let's be all cheesy for a minute. In these days of gloom and doom and credit crunches and things, you know... If you can just have a bit of a laugh to take people away from their everyday situation, if it's only an hour or two, it's great, really.
I was going to say, the news is full of the doom and gloom, isn't it? So you're hearing today about the chaos in Woolworths in some places where people are fighting over some of the alleged half-price items.
Yeah.
And we do need to be cheered up. Christmas is not supposed to be that time, isn't it? We'll be hearing next week from a local art critic about where Panto actually started, because it's one thing that... I've just been so used to seeing there and experiencing it. It's there anyway, wherever you go. I've just had a list of a lot of pantomime across the country.
Is it a Victorian thing, was it? Or before that?
I think originally it was a Victorian thing. This one here wasn't written that long ago by Paul Reeks. He sort of adapted it to the modern stage.
Well, that's what I like, though, because it's not Aladdin, and Cinderella is all over the place in the northeast Cheshire area and over the borders, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's nice to have something which is a bit different. The first pantomime I saw over here, in fact, was Bollington Festival Players, and they're doing Santa in Space next month, and we'll be talking to them, but there's a real eye-opener for me. Great performance, and just so much fun. And obviously Goody Two-Shoes in the same way. Are you sort of constantly laughing during the whole, all the rehearsals because it's so bizarre?
Hysteria, really, because we keep forgetting the lines and things, you know. But we're getting there, aren't we, Liam?
Yeah, we are. We are. It's good fun. You know, if you're having fun, then everybody watching it will be having fun as well.
Yeah.
But that's why you do it. That's why you do it. It's departure from your everyday job, and you just have a laugh, and you meet people from outside of your normal environment. You know, because I just brought you back from the home, haven't I?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, they let me out tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Who are you again?
Pardon?
No, is there any particular reason why Panto tends to be in January? Because I was talking to David. I was talking to David Postance, who's to do with, you just mentioned the Bollington Festival Players. Mm. We were talking to him yesterday, this Santa in Space, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I said to him, you can't do that in January, surely. And he kind of said, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I just think that by the time you get to the 3rd of January, people have kind of had enough of Christmas, put it away for another 12 months, and there it is, there's Santa Claus still.
Yeah. Perhaps it's the extension of Christmas anyway, because...
I don't know, maybe it's me.
There is a tradition, of extending it over the Christmas period, which includes parts...
To be honest, I'm glad we do ours before Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd much rather do it before than in January myself, because it's sort of in the build-up still, we finish just before Christmas.
We do. This year it's been so close to Christmas, it's good. It's got that little bit of extra atmosphere that we didn't used to have, because we used to perform this pantomime about a couple of weeks before Christmas, the way the Guild syllabus actually falls. And then the Guild was closed just before the Christmas week. But this one is right on top of Christmas, which is great.
Yeah.
Yes, there's certainly got a buzz about it. And of course, I'm just wondering how horrible this Septica is. Is she... she's a central character, isn't she? Normally,
the
central character is a sort of the nice girl. Or
Goody's the good girl. Yes. Goody, played by Bex.
She's wearing the shoes, though. What's she doing that?
Well, she doesn't get to wear the shoes. I can't give too much away, you see.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, I want people to come, you see, and pay money. But the shoes are the key thing. Who gets hold of them? Because... you know, they could be used for good or for bad, couldn't they, Lee?
They could. The old traditional pantomime props of the magic shoes, which will give you everything that you desire.
And the good news is that once the panto's over, we're actually sending the magic shoes off to Gordon Brown. You know, because I think it'll help him a bit in his current difficulties.
That's right. That was one of the jokes, but...
we can't do that one now.
I think well done, though, for Septica to actually take her magic shoes to the cobblers to be mended, because, you know, it's important to recycle these things.
It is. I wonder how many children actually know what cobblers do.
When they see the pantomime, I know all about what cobblers is.
Timpson's, isn't it? I'm taking it down to Timpson. Are you allowed to?
No.
It's all right, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of lamb cobbler, but not elf cobbler. I mean, what's that taste like? I mean, what...
And the lad playing the elf cobbler, it's his first big part.
Oh, just give him a plug. Who is he then? What's his detail?
Matthew Cotton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad you remembered that. Actually, to be fair, Lee's son's in it as well. It's a family thing. And your daughter, tell them about your family.
Yes, Callum and Abigail are in it, yes.
How old are they?
Callum's 13 and Abigail's 9.
Very good.
Abby. And they're both in it. He's playing one of the parts, the main part, and Abby's in the dance group.
So he'll be lead role in about 4 years then?
I suppose, yes. Mm-hmm. I suppose, you know.
You'll bring the old man along, won't you?
He will, I'll be getting
out. He's on his way up and you'll be sliding down the other side.
I will be pushing me in my wheelchair.
Speak louder.
I know.
He's only 42, he's old. He'll be all right, don't
worry. Am I?
I think that's what you told me.
Oh, right. Oh, good. Good. Yes, that's right.
I'm sorry, we're interrupting you.
Nah, it's just part of the natural banter of Panto. We're just a mere extension here on Canal Side's theatre show.
Well, the good thing with Panto as well is even if you fluff your lines, you can get away with it, because you can just make bits up and you can cover your tracks, whereas in a normal straight play, obviously everyone just starts quivering with fright and you can't do a lot about it sometimes.
And this is a great example of a bargain show. £5 a ticket for adults, and children... if you're under 16, 16 and under, £4.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, can you really do it for that price? Do you get a cup of tea with it as well?
No,
obviously not.
No, I don't. I think
extra.
So.
I think.
I think they are extra. Yes.
There is tea and orange juice available.
There are, but a very, very
non-alcoholic venue. Like, just
like Pence,
in case
we're talking.
Have you received any grants lately?
I'm I think we do get a grant from the Macclesfield Borough Council.
Right.
On a, well, we used to, but I'm not actually sure what we actually get.
We should put in for a rise then.
I don't know who you'll be putting it into because
I don't know whether
we
actually get it anymore. I'm not
put your council tax up next year, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Actually, we were talking in the first part of the show about things that go wrong, and of course, at the last production, the cast had to do something remarkable. For once, they had to stop the show partway through because, unfortunately, a member of the audience fell ill. Yeah. And this was dramatic. One of my colleagues sitting with me spotted this little lady who wasn't so well.
Mm.
And, of course, you, I think, Lee, were front of house manager that night.
Yes.
So, yeah, bit of a drama. How do you stop the performance and sort of tell the cast when you've got no ability to stop a pop and turn the lights off?
Well, luckily, the a member of the audience actually spotted this lady who was quietly keeling over and alerted us, and we had to basically walk onto the stage and send everybody off and take this lady out of the production. But fortunately, I mean, everything's fine with her. She's recovered and she's getting some free tickets to come to our next production in March, so everything's fine there. But yeah, you've just got to we have procedures that we have to follow, and you just kind of make sure that the right authorities are called, and they came double quick time and looked after her, and then we just started the production again.
Can I say that person who was with me that night was in Up and Under the night before? And because Up and Under had that problem of somebody snapping their Achilles tendon, so I thought this boy, Peter Thompson, who may be listening tonight, was facing me with these productions, but thankfully to him, he's a first aider. I think he helped assist where he could do. But
we might also be a jinx.
Yeah, I was going to say, Peter, if you want to see the panto, it runs from January the 15th.
Give him the wrong date.
But, yes, I think we're going to give people a chance also to come and sample Goody Two Shoes on the peak nights Friday and Saturday. So, fellas, I wonder if you've got, I think, pairs of tickets for Friday and Saturday.
We have.
You have a question, perhaps, that you might
two sets of two tickets, two for Friday and two for Saturday evening. And they are good seats, right in the middle of the main block. And Trevor, I believe, has got a question.
Yes, the tiebreaker question is, in the panto there are some garments or something what you wear, what are magic? What are they?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's a tough one if you haven't been paying attention, you haven't been listening.
Well, the show is called Goody Two Shoes.
Correct.
Just mention that on 17th to 20th of December at Wilmslow Guild. So, big chance, everybody, if you want to go along for a free night. And it's great stuff there. I
mean, 576689 is the number you need. 01625 576689. The question again, guys, please.
Clever.
Oh, sorry, I just nodded off then for a moment.
Yeah, sorry.
There are a pair of magic garments within the play, very crucial to the play, that people wear, and what are they? What are these things that you wear that are magic?
And this is two sets of tickets for the good seats as well for the Friday night performance, two sets for the Saturday. This is the Wilmslow Guild pantomime, Goody Two, yeah? And give us a ring, 576689. We've also got the other question running for the Chads performance, which is John Willie and the Beeple. We've got tickets to give away for that. And the question is, what town are Chads based in? Okay? What town are Chads based in?
You can tell it's Christmas, can't you? It's giveaway.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just take a breather. We'll have a bit of music, and then we'll be back again in a few minutes' time after we've listened to the Walker Brothers. It's Canalside Community Radio, 102.8, quarter past seven. Matt Isaac's coming up after this show at 8 o'clock with the Soul, and then after that it's the Macclesfield Town Football phone-in. Terry Dunfield in the studio with us tonight. If you've got any questions for Terry, your number on the phone is going to bring you straight through to the studio. Different number, 576633. All right, 576633. Or you can email straight through to the studio, studio@ccr-fm.co.uk. A lot of information coming at you all at once, but I'm sure you can handle it. I've got every confidence in you. questions still running if you'd like tickets for John Willie and the Beeple, which is a performance by Chads, coming up very, very soon. All you need to do is give us a ring, 57 6689. You just need to answer the question, what town are Chads based in? And then the two gentlemen that we've got in the studio with us here now, Lee Tipton and Trevor Williams, otherwise known as Polo and Rolo, or Rolo and Polo, in Goody Two Shoes. Their performance, they're from the Wilmslow Guild Players. Two sets for Friday, two sets for Saturday, and the question again from Trevor is, after he's had a slurp of his coffee.
I'm with you, am I, really? I've been to work today, and I'm worn out now. This is amateur, it's so dramatic. So, yes, we're in the pento, there's a very, very integral part, is a garment, or garments.
He's gone into character now.
I've gone into character now.
In your own time, Trevor.
I'm in the zone now, I've gone in the zone. No, we're in the zone. What is this magical garment, or garments, what are worn in the pento?
Without any kind of disrespect here, chaps, I'm going to mention the Congerton Players are doing a masterclass, Voice into Speech, which is happening. When's it happening? It's happening next year. Alexander Clements is the expert tutor. He's doing this it's a whole day affair. So if you want to have details of this, which are going to be early next year, then please contact the Congerton Players. So maybe it's an idea for you, fellas, to getting some training.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
That said, Lee was just saying just when we had the music playing for the Walker Brothers about, you're no stranger to certainly the stage. In fact, you went the whole hog and trained, didn't you, to be on the stage?
No, well, in terms of actually going being in the youth theatre bit, yes.
That was youth theatre. That was
youth theatre. Cheshire Youth Theatre.
If you're 42 now, that was a long time ago. Then that was last century.
It was, unfortunately, in the early 80s. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Before I went to university, there was the school decided to send those drama students who thought they could benefit from attending the Cheshire Youth Theatre. A couple of us went over, and we went with great hopes to be proper actors, if you know what I mean. Mm. And we found that at age 16, really, we were not the best, but at least we were amongst our peers. And there was about 150 of us there from throughout Cheshire, from various different schools we met up with. And we ended up doing a performance of Midsummer Night's Dream at a proper theatre, the Lyceum, no doubt.
Crew, that is, I love it, that's great there, isn't it? Fantastic,
We were very, very privileged at that age to have that experience, really. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Everybody's acting career, must always start in the nativity play at school, mustn't it?
That's right, mine certainly did, I was,
You two look like good King Herods to me.
thank you very much, I can remember it now. My first role in a nativity play wasn't any of the traditional ones, you know, angels or shepherds and
things. One of the sheep.
Sheep role. Well, I don't have to come here to be insulted. I'm nearly anywhere. Right. I was a tax collector.
I told you, King Herod, there you go.
I can't believe it. I was doing the census, you know, I was the baddie. I was the only baddie in the nativity play. Why'd you make that out? It's marvellous, isn't it?
You know, you can fit panto into in any formula, can't you, really? It's only a play. I was with the Brough Petuaria Players. It's actually in Manchester over Christmas time. See how they run, Philip King production, where I played a vicar in there, or a pretend vicar. Have you seen that one?
I saw it years ago.
It's a farce, is that?
Yeah. It is a farce. Philip King does farces. In fact, it was the second play I was in when I was in Amdram in Yorkshire. And it was great fun to be in, that particular. But that was I was thrown in the deep end 9 years ago. 9 years ago, doing Charlie's Aunt for me as a play. That was the first 10 lines, you're on your own on the stage.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. And that was the formula, I think, as Richard Rhodes from Point of Players was saying earlier, as he stepped into his role in Up and Under. If you don't get it right, and the link's right, and the connection's right, it can throw a whole production, especially if it's a play.
Yes.
Whereas panto, as you say, you know, ad-lib like crazy, and at some point you pick it back up again.
You do, yes.
Hopefully. So you were the vicar.
I was a, vicar.
How does a guy who's 6 foot three, tall and slim, four, manage to end up looking like Dawn French? I don't know how you're doing.
Without the Christmas dinner as well. In fact, I came on with this scarf, which resembled the scarf Tom Baker had in Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, yeah.
The vicar's wife was welcoming me in, and cause I think I was expected as a guest, but they thought I was an imposter. And then she took the scarf from me as if to say, well, I'll just take all your outer garments from you. Because this scarf was so long, I had to spin like a top and then drop below the sofa as if I was just disoriented. Mm-hmm. And actually I was, because I don't think I overacted, I just did the part spinning like a top. Great fun, though, to be in a play like that, because I suppose for us we think it's funny when we first start doing it, read the script. Yes. Come the stage production, you're on stage, the audience is laughing, but you perhaps just don't connect that they're laughing because you're just wanting to get it right.
Well, that's why I love doing comedy. You know, there is a structure to it, and you've got to know when the laughs are coming, and you've got to be quiet, and then you've got to kind of carry it on. So there's a discipline, isn't there, that we try and invoke into it. It looks unrehearsed.
No, it's not.
But no, there is time into it.
I don't believe you can teach comedy. I went on a comedy writing course once. And, you know, I went for about 6 weeks. And I didn't have one laugh all the way through. It was all very formulaic. It was, you know, all the structures and you do this and you do that. And there was no inspiration to it. And I think the best comedy is always just like, comes to you like that and it's inspired. Mm. And it's immediate. And you don't sit thinking about it for hours and hours and hours.
It's ad lib.
Yes, it is. Yeah. We've got to make sure that ad lib always sounds like it's come for the very first time when you do it again, because this comes out of rehearsal.
Can always remember when I was in Panto, I used to do planned ad-lib.
Yes, it was planned ad-lib.
I knew exactly what I was going to do and when I was going to do it, and I was going to fake that I was ad-libbing.
Well, that's it. That's what I was saying.
And everybody bought it, but I've just let the secret out now, you see. But well, there were times when obviously you had to improvise, but in the main it was, you know, you were pushing it down a certain way, because you knew what was going to come back from the audience anyway, and then they got you, you know. Mm. So, yeah.
There's quite a pedigree, though, at the Wilmslow Guild. I mean, it's in Bourne Street, isn't it?
So, yes.
So, and I've been a number of times, it's within an adult education complex, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's education first, really, and we encourage anybody with any... well, don't even have to have any ability, just any interest in anything dramatic to come along and give anything a go. From, you don't have to act on stage, you can stand behind the scenes, you can help do the props, you can do whatever, you make up,
paint scenery.
But it is an education centre first and foremost, and there's no prima donnas there. That's why we're there.
No, it's true. It's true. There's no ego. I mean,
You
can occasionally find egos in Amdram groups. Hmm. You know, you think, oh, the ego has landed, you think to yourself sometimes. But, you know, I must say, in the Wilmslow Guild, it's quite a family thing. There's nobody with any edge or ego to...
No.
Well, there's been some very good performers there. Some have people gone on to greater things who performed at Wilmslow Guild, say?
Well, they have. Although, from quite far back, but... we had a very famous Coronation Street actress who started her career there. Because the Guild Players have been going as long as the Education Centre since 1926, and if anybody's out there knows Doris Speed.
Well, Annie Walker.
Annie Walker.
Yeah, famous on the Rovers.
Yeah.
What would she be thinking now when she sees what Steve McDonald's doing, eh?
Gosh.
She'd be shocked.
Her and Jack would be spinning in their graves at the moment.
Yeah, but we've had a much, much, much famous person than that in Albert Finney, who started there, and he's obviously... one of the greats of Britain, I think.
Heavens,
isn't he?
Yes, he is. He had one season with us, but he was one of the old-fashioned jobbing actors who went round all the theatres, the amateurs and the semi-pros before he started in rep, and he did one season at the Wilmslow Guild.
He started in one of the Scrooge films, didn't he, Albert Finney? One of the remakes, I'm sure he did.
Was he
Marley's ghost, was he? Can't remember. I know he was definitely in one of them.
Remember Saturday Night and Sunday Morning? I remember him in that in the 60s, set in Nottingham.
So is there a picture of him on the wall so you can sort of, you know, pay tribute?
No, when we had the 80th anniversary, somebody actually wrote to his fan base and found that he hadn't actually remembered that he'd actually starred there, but he had.
Yeah.
He had, because it's all in the notes and in the minutes. But I think it's pre any pictures were taken. We've got some pictures post-war from about 1949 onwards, but I can't... I'll tell a lie there. I think if you look on the website, because there is a Wormslow Guild website, there is something just before the war, some one picture I think he's put on. But I can't think there's any of Albert Finney.
Talking about the other one they might know, the more recent one.
I don't think they'll know his name. David Michaels. I don't think they'll know his name. David Green, as it was. He was the heartthrob... doctor in Heartbeat that's been regularly showing on Dave at the moment, and he was actually in the very first episode of Inspector Morse, in one of the very first scenes too. I think he was only about 22 at the time, but he attended the guild and did some training under Grace Reed in the early 80s.
Such an illustrious alumni you have at the guild.
We'll look at alumni up later on, shall we?
All right, so look, we'll take another break. We'll have a bit of music. We're going to have another 60s tune from The Move. Something different at this time of year to be playing a Roy Wood song and not I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, because Roy Wood used to be in The Move. We've got Fire Brigade. Those questions again, if you want to win tickets to the John Willie and the Beeple show, or the Goody Two Shoes show at the Wilmslow Guild. The John Willie and the Beeple is at Chad's. That's their performance. The question for that one is, what town are they based in? Tickets going for that. And then we've got two sets for Friday and two sets for Saturday for Goody Two Shoes. And that's the Wilmslow Guild players. And we've got Lee Tipton and Trevor Williams in with us tonight, with myself and Tony. And we'll give you that question one more time.
Trevor, in the panto... there's a magic pair of garments or something what you wear. What's magic? What are they? Thank you.
Would you by any chance put them on your feet?
You might.
And they're not socks, are they?
No. Well, there you go then. That's narrowed it down.
Two socks.
50-50 now. 5766 89. That's the number. 5766 89. Matt is in the office right now to take your call. Tony. Over to you.
Nick, thank you. Well, this, of course, is Wilmslow's night, as it seems, Poynton's as well. But this is good to get around the patch, because there are so many amateur dramatic groups. I think, Trevor, that you've starred in another one. You've been in, was it Brookdale at Bramall you've been in?
Yeah, I've been in the Brookdale for about 3 years now. Again, it's one of these strange places where they actually dismantle the stage, and it becomes a sort of a tennis court, or I should say a badminton court, really, through the rest of the time, and then suddenly it becomes another stage again, and the amount of work that goes into creating and removing the stages, and the seating, of course, is quite phenomenal, really. Can I plug a Brookdale play I'm in?
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
As long as you give me free tickets for it, I'm quite happy.
Is that your stage voice? You're going to do every character?
Every
like
character
that?
From now on is going to be in this voice, yeah.
Oh, no.
yes, well, I'm in the...
Oh, no, it isn't.
I'm in the Darling Buds of May. The Darling Buds of May.
Oh, yeah.
Set in Kent in, funnily enough, in May. It's very hot. And it'll be one way to escape the winter blues. It's on in January. I think it's the 21st to the 24th down at Brookdale in Bramall. Well, everyone's welcome, especially if you pay to come in.
Good one.
Incidentally, in the British Theatre Guide News from the Northwest, they tell me that already the Lowry in Salford has begun selling tickets for its 2009 Christmas show.
Blimey.
And they're doing, this is based on White Christmas, the 1954 film. With songs by Irving Berlin. So, yes, that's starting now. Already talking about 2009 and Christmas 09. We haven't had Christmas 08 yet.
No,
but they have to plan ahead, don't they?
You do. Are you on any planning committees, Lee?
I used to be, but we've got to plan ahead for the next season. And we look forward to promoting the next season before it's even started. So we've got... like plays lined up already for next year.
So what's the next one after the panto this next week?
We've got our March play. We have two plays plus the panto. And our March play is A Woman of No Importance by Oscar Wilde. So, our director there is Owen LeBlanc. Who's
Owen the Rent.
Owen LeBlanc.
Oh,
Owen LeBlanc.
Right.
Yeah,
Owen
he's
LeBlanc.
Canadian.
Yeah,
he is.
Does how many nights is that performed over? Do they tend to be shorter than a pantomime? Or
Yeah, well, we always seem to do the one, produce them from Wednesday to the Saturday of the production week. It's only over, like, the four nights.
Four nights. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's enough, or do you think you could do longer?
Well, some, you know, really, the tickets do sell quite quickly, and you could easily sell another night, I'm sure, but we found over the years that seems to be sufficient, because we don't want sparse nights, we don't want people, 50, 60 people in the audience. We need it full, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're better with less nights and having it full.
Packed.
Yeah.
Because of the atmosphere,
It's the atmosphere, and then people come back next year, whereas if they've turned up and there's only been 50 or 60, they're not going again. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I can understand that.
Yeah. So, talk about atmosphere. I went to see Gaslight this week down at your neighbours at Wilmslow Green Room, and, oh, tremendous. That was a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's complete contrast to, I think, much of what I've seen. It wasn't one of those plays you laugh at, because there wasn't anything to laugh at. It's just really the implication of what people said and did, I reviewed it in, it appears in the Wilmslow Express this
suspense.
Week. Suspense. It was tremendous suspense, because you feel sorry for Bella at the very beginning. You've got Bella and Jack Manningham in this, this house in London, and he is clearly playing tricks with her mind, and she knows it, and it all unravels towards the end, but... you start to feel sorry for her, but, you know, thank goodness for second halves, because it all began a bit brighter. But Jack, who was played by, I think, Richard Lee, I think that's his name, he cuts a very sinister figure, very tall guy, very dark jacket, top hat, everything like that, the very mysterious type, and it was quite an impact to watch Gaslight. I think it's also coming to Altrincham, to Garrick Theatre, early next year.
But I've never actually been to Altrincham Garrick. I believe it's kind of a bit of a semi-pro type atmosphere there, with all the, because they've had lottery grants and everything to do it up, and I believe it looks absolutely fantastic.
Yes, I too have not ventured that far beyond the patch, but I intend to, because I think there's some very good stuff, like at all theatres, going on there. And there's almost one thing a week, so I'm going to be kept very busy over the Christmas New Year period, as I feel like I have been over the last year or so. But yes, comedy, Gaslight wasn't comedy, but could you see yourselves appearing in that sort of production, you know, very serious and psychological thriller type?
No, not really, no. well, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think we could do it if we put our minds to it.
Yeah, well, but, you must have done it I've done a few things, but you must have done...
The last serious role I had was a boat builder in Rebecca.
Right.
I built the boat that sank, and she sort of drowned it in it, you know. Oh, right. I wasn't a very good boat builder, really, but actually it wasn't me what sank the boat in the end, it was this other bloke who put holes in it, and oh, never mind, but... So that was quite a serious role. So yes, we can do serious, but I think, I think the concentration you have to, and the actual... Because sometimes, you know, when you're acting angry, you can feel your blood pressure going up. I'm sure it's not good for you, and if you're acting depressed, I think you can carry it over into your sort of normal
do you use any kind of
well.
Method to kind of get yourself into that state? Because do you think about it?
What, getting depressed? Yeah, when I'm with you, yeah.
Oh, right. I was trying to offer a serious point then.
You know, you can but try, but you're in panto mode.
No, we're in panto mode at the moment. No, I've done straight acting as well, which is good fun, but I much prefer comedy roles. But first thing I was in was Neville's Island at the Guild. We had real, you know... I think half our gardens were inside that hall, with sets. When we built the set.
Again, the search for props, you know.
On the search for props, we had a because part of Neville's Island, these four men get stranded on this desert island in the middle of the Lake District, and David Carlisle was in that actually, I think.
Yes.
And he's acting your.
He's directing Darling Buds of May.
Yes, he is. Yeah, and John Banks, who I met from the Altrincham Club Theatre, and we had a swimming pool on stage which acted as the water bit, and we had to kind of crawl from beyond the acting area through the water and appear on stage from the water, because we didn't come from the wings, so the audience were looking round thinking... Where are they coming from? You know, all they can see is this pool of water as we walk on stage, and these trees and these conifers and everything else that was around there. It was brilliant set. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then we had to get drowned with buckets of water in the car park, and then we kind of walked dripping round the back of the set, and up we came, immersed through this water.
Oh, right.
Brilliant.
Great.
So, Goody Two Shoes opens next Wednesday, the 17th, at 7:15 at Wilmslow Guild at Bourne Street. Tickets, £5, I say, for adults, £4 for children, 16 and under. And ticket to the ticket line, I should give, 520, this 01625, the code, 520126. And you can get tickets as well on the internet by email. Tickets at wgp.org.uk. Would you agree with that, fellas? Are the details correct there?
Yeah, pretty accurate. 7:15 kickoff, by the way, slightly earlier.
And that phone number again, just in case anyone was charging round for a pen.
Mm-hmm. 01625 520126.
I shall be there on the opening night to see you and to review it for next week's edition of the theatre show within this, this slot. So let's hear what I say. But I usually enjoy thoroughly good pantomime. I remember actually last year, a little anecdote for you, that I was racing over to Southport, to my hometown, to see my mother in panto. First time I'd seen the All Souls Dramatic Club at the Southport Arts Centre in panto. The very day I chose to do this should have been a perfectly normal day, except the M6 was suddenly shut that day because of an accident, and so I had to take every circuitous route possible to get over to Southport to see the show. It was well worth it in the end, although there's more entertainment by a little old lady who wanted to get out of the auditorium to go to the toilets during the performance and got stuck sitting very fairly close to me. But it was good. I think All Souls doing Peter Pan this in January at Southport, so my mother playing a dog, apparently, in that particular production. Yes, I thought so too.
What kind of dog?
I don't know. I've yet to find out more.
You have to do that to get to Southport anyway, don't you, whether the motorway's open or shut?
No, no. Nice town. But, yeah, there's plenty of pantomime around. And, gentlemen, Lee and Trevor, thank you for joining us on the theatre show today, and also to all of you at Wilmslow Guild, a very happy Christmas, a great new year. Also, break a leg in the nicest possible way for Goody Two Shoes.
Great pleasure. Much. Thank you for having us. And a Merry Christmas to all at Canalside Radio.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, guys. That's the guys. They've gone, but you can still win some tickets to go and see them. Okay, that's Rolo and Polo and all the gang, the Wilmslow Guild. Two sets for Friday night, two sets for Saturday night, and all you have to do. Basically, all you have to do is name the show that they're in, name the panto that they're in, on 576689. Ring now. You could be a winner with Canalside.